Hello, welcome to another special episode of Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani. It was a superb start to the Cricket World Cup. Week one with full stadiums, great action and just one rain delay. Week two, well, never underestimate the English weather. That's right, 2.5 weeks in and we have seen the wettest World Cup in history. We really should have seen this coming. A series of washouts, including India and New Zealand, which really dampened, pun intended, the week for everyone, especially us Indian fans. Anyhow, moving along, with me today is our special guest DJ. DJ is a co-host of the Edges and Sledges podcast. Welcome, DJ.
Thanks very much, Shivani. Delighted to be on the podcast.
Well, nice to have you on, and thanks for making time for us today. Now, aside from the India versus Pakistan, it wasn't a good week for us cricket fans, with four games being ruined by rain last week. I understand your other two co-hosts, Varun and Ashwin, were in the UK. So did you guys manage to catch any of the action?
Yeah, we did, actually. We initially came together for India's opener against South Africa, which was in Southampton. Thankfully, that was all dry and good. So we watched that, and it was a great game. India obviously coming out victorious there. So good result for us. The next game I personally watched was the India-Australia game, which was absolutely incredible. It was all blue at the Oval in London, which is my home. And it was just amazing, that game.
Yeah.
The week after, as you mentioned, was a bit of a damp squib. We were also supposed to be down in Nottingham. We're up in Nottingham, India, New Zealand. And my parents were here. Varun's parents were here. My sister was here from India. It was the only game she'd got tickets to. And yeah. I have to say, it was such a massive disappointment. We've spoken at length about that on our podcast. Yep. And it's just, I think it's still annoying us, to be honest.
Yep. So was it actually raining hard? Because, I mean, on TV for us, I mean, honestly, it was like they were tugging on your heartstrings, really, because the covers came off and then they went back on and it was like, oh, the game's on. And then the next thing, they've called it off.
So look, when we got there on Thursday last week, it wasn't raining, but we mm-hmm. had 2 days of incessant rain. There was a flood alert in Nottingham. And basically, the ground hadn't been covered fully over the past 2 days when the rain had actually been falling. So what the issue that had happened was the covers were on the main square and the pitch, but where the water ran off the covers, they had some pipes which were kind of draining the water away onto square leg and point at both ends of the field. So there were four areas which yeah. were completely damp where the pipes had carried the water away. Now, they hadn't carried the water all the way off the ground, say, outside the ropes and the boundary. They were still yeah. on the ground. So that's the bit that the umpires came out to inspect every hour. And every time they came out, the crowd went up and we were excited. The covers came on and off. It didn't actually yeah. rain that much, as you said. But it was pretty disappointing for Indian fans, especially those that had travelled.
Of course, yeah. So do you get a full refund of your ticket or?
Well, you get a full refund of the cricket tickets themselves. Yep. But I mean, we've got train tickets, you've got hotels,
you've got
kind of flight yep. tickets for people who've flown from other parts of the world, right? So yep. it is disappointing that that kind of was a damp squib. In fact, at the India-Australia game, we had a gentleman in our stand who'd flown mm. all the way from Sydney, a gentleman called Sanjeev, who basically was fairly jet-lagged, and I think maybe it had one or two beers too many.
Like a Sanjeev.
Yeah, it was quite. He gave a little speech when he got up as well about how he was a doctor from Sydney. But yeah, he had a good time, and people come in from all over the world, so it's just a disappointment, really.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, look, there were a lot of anxious Indian fans awaiting the India-Pakistan clash. I think after the complete washout against New Zealand, Indian fans were ready to settle for nothing less than a win over Pakistan. And I think, in fact, the Manchester weather and rain was even trending at one point on Google, right, leading up to the match.
Yeah, and the ICC, if they'd let two India games in a row get washed out, there would have been a boycott of the World Cup, especially if it was India-Pakistan, right? So you had people mm-hmm. putting out halogen lamps and things trying to dry the outfield for Manchester. But even there, they hadn't actually yep. covered the entire square, unlike places like India and Sri Lanka where the whole ground is covered when the rain
stopped. I mean, there was a lot riding on this match, I guess, from a commercial aspect. I mean, these matches, especially India and Pakistan, you know, generate, you know, some of the highest viewership. I think the last World Cup match in 2015 is, in fact, the second most viewed match in cricketing history. So, you know, would have been a big hit. Not only to the ICC, but, you know, some of these big broadcasters and advertisers. So,
yeah, it's the numbers are actually staggering when you look at what an India-Pakistan game brings in, India games bring in, and what non-India games bring in. You see the comparison and you realize how much this actually means in terms of revenue and advertising. But the game itself didn't actually live up to the billing. I think it was good that we got a game, but I'm not sure India-Pakistan is really what it used to be back in the 90s. And I think Pakistan fans are now finding out what it was to lose to India consistently.
When Ashwin and I had a chat, you know, there was really no doubt that India were going to sort of notch up their seven victory in seven matches against Pakistan. India really did sort of live up to the favourites tag with a somewhat clinical performance, and perhaps that was probably the bore of it all, right? I mean, they almost squashed Pakistan's chances in the tournament. Yeah, like you said, it was somewhat predictable, was it not?
I think so. I mean, it's been predictable for a little while. I think it's a David versus Goliath situation in some ways. India is just a massive cricketing nation, and Pakistan don't even play cricket in their home country anymore, and relies solely on natural talent to beat the bigger and better teams. So it's a matchup of unequals in a lot of ways, although it does bring out a lot of excitement. I remember 2015 where they played in Adelaide. It was a completely wrong time zone for me, so I stayed up through the night. I think we started watching it at like 2 a.m. or something, crazy like that. And by the time the game got over, we couldn't, we didn't have the energy to celebrate because it was, I think it was 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. Well, we had to sort of experience the same this time round.
Yeah.
Being the different time zone. So, I mean, how were you feeling leading up to the match, DJ?
I think excited. We booked an area in a bar next to our flat, and we got all our friends over, and it was quite good. I mean, I think the English pub owners were slightly surprised to see all these Indians descending at 10 a.m. into their pub.
Yeah, because, yeah.
I mean, apart from the hardcore English cricket fans, people here don't really know there's a World Cup on, to be honest. I think Varun or Ashwin, one of the two, flew into Southampton and said he's here for the World Cup, and the guy at immigration tells him, well, that's happened last year. So,
no way, really?
But it's completely different, the vibe for the Football World Cup, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the office that I work in, people were just leaving at 4 p.m. to make sure they caught the football. There was no work on weekends because England was playing football. And, I mean, you've seen the pictures where people just congregated in Hyde Park and stuff to watch the football, but there's none of that this time. In fact, it looks like most of India is actually in London and the UK this year.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a shame. And I think it's on pay TV as well, right? It's not being featured on free to air.
Yeah, it's not on free to air TV. I think there's some highlights at 1 a.m. which cause people to laugh out loud. But yeah, it's a shame that it's not on free-to-air TV properly.
Yeah.
I think the last series was the 2005 Ashes, and there was so much interest in the game. I think Sky and their deal with England cricket may have killed interest a little bit this time around.
Such a shame. But moving along, I mean, your thoughts on India's defeat? You know, Kuldeep Yadav struck at vital moments, and Rohit Sharma scored a stunning century. Your thoughts?
I think let's go with Rohit first because, I mean, incredible innings. Innings. You've seen the comparisons to the shot that he hit off, I think it was Hasan Ali, he hit it over point for six, and immediately everyone went back to Centurion where Sachin had square cut Shoaib Akhtar for six, and there were comparisons being drawn between the two, and his straight drives and the full toss that he deposited over for six as well. Just incredible batting from Rohit in such a pressure cooker of a match.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, coming out of the IPL, he's just in such top form, right? Some glorious strokes there.
Yeah, it's his fantastic form, and I think he's a victim a little bit of his own success, because the moment he gets to 100, people start thinking that he's going to get to 200, right? And so true, the 140 true. That he scored, people are just disappointed that why hasn't he gone on and got 200 against Pakistan in a World Cup? And I think I mentioned it on our podcast as well, saying that that would have cemented him as a legend of the game. But, I mean, Ashwin pointed out that he is already a legend of the game with three double hundreds. No one else has got anywhere close to that.
Is it you that's not so much a fan of Rohit Sharma? I'm not sure. Is it you or who is?
So I really like Rohit as a one-day player, right? And that's the distinction I've been trying to draw with Ashwin. But he's been ribbing me about it since Rohit's been in such good form. I don't like Rohit Sharma in test matches because I don't think he's got the temperament to play test matches. So if you go back and listen to our podcast when India was actually down in Australia playing the test series earlier this year, I've criticized Rohit a lot for his test match game, but I've always maintained he's a fantastic one-day player. And, I mean, he's just going on improving it. He's probably going to go down as one of the best ever to have played one-day cricket. And often people say that he's even better than Kohli. There's an article by Pakistani Cricinfo editor which talks about how Kohli, when he saw Rohit bat for the first time, was just awestruck by the talent the man had. And fair game. Yeah.
Well, he's scored five consecutive 50-plus in one-day internationals now, is it?
Yeah, he's in great form. I think he got 100 against in the opener against South Africa. He got 50-odd against Australia. He's got another 140 in this game. So a massive purple patch from him. But the other point you brought up was on Kuldeep, right? And I think we were all really happy about Kuldeep taking that wicket. It was such a key wicket at that moment. We were looking like Pakistan were looking like they were pressing the accelerator at that stage. And for Kuldeep to bowl Babar Azam through the gate, I mean, after the IPL disappointment that Kuldeep had, and we saw him nearly reduced to tears, right, in one of the spells and being controlled by his teammates. And for him to come back against Pakistan at the World Cup stage and bowl beautifully, I mean, it's making the hair on my hand stand as we speak about it, to be honest. Goosebumps. Fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Well, someone else who had a poor IPL was Vijay Shankar. So poor he went, you know, largely unnoticed. He hardly batted, bowled even less. And then the next thing you know, he's been drafted, taken his first wicket in the World Cup. He's third in an ODI versus Pakistan. Your thoughts on Vijay Shankar?
Vijay Shankar, we had all the 3D jokes come out immediately once he took that wicket, scored a few runs and took a catch as well. So he had a perfect World Cup debut in a lot of ways. But I don't know whether you've been following the news lately, but Shikhar Dhawan, after scoring that magnificent 100, has been ruled out. So I think Shankar is going to be in the 11 just because of the injury issues. He's probably going to bat at 4. Rahul's probably going to continue to open, but really disappointing for Shikhar, I have to say.
Yeah, very disappointing. And that, so Punt's back, he's in the squad now, right? They've flown him over. And I mean, does this sort of reopen the debate over the number 4 slot?
It's an interesting one because the number 4 slot is, it's something we've spoken about for a year, ever since we started our podcast, to be honest. And it's something I'm getting a little bit tired of speaking about, so I wish it just ended. But it has, I think Vijay Shankar takes the number 4 slot. I think Pant probably, so the way this works out is that I think Pant may come into the lower middle order to provide that punch towards the back end. I think what Vijay Shankar's performance has done is it's put Kedar Jadhav under pressure because Shankar can give those extra overs which Kedar was being banked on to provide. So I suspect if Pant is to play, he won't play at number 4. He'll play lower down the order. So you've got Pandya, Dhoni and Pant to provide that finishing kick. And I mean, I think it's something that it may not be a very bad idea. Really disappointing for Shikhar again. and yep. scored a magnificent 100 against Australia, which is kind of his adopted home, right? So no mercy from Gabbar.
I mean, given that he's been ruled out, there's obviously with Rohit and Kohli, you know, they just can't afford to have an off day now with the bat. We don't know how consistent KL is. The only thing that sort of concerns me is probably Pant's temperament. I mean, that could be a worry. Do you agree, DJ?
I agree with that. I mean, he isn't really a finisher. He's someone who comes in and spanks the wall. So I was initially thinking that perhaps it could be a straight swap for Shikhar at the top of the order, where Pant's a left-hander, Shikhar's a left-hander. Pant can just, he walks in 0 for 0, mind blank, doesn't worry about the situation, just goes after the bowling, short boundaries, small grounds. And yeah, why not? India could do with a quick start or two. And Pant has opened the batting at the under-19 level. He was actually an opener at the under-19 level, especially because Dhoni is going to be keeping, so Pant actually won't be tired after keeping as well. So that would be one way to go. It would be a very positive step from the Indian management. But the good thing is that they've got the game against Afghanistan to try out this new combination, which has been necessitated by the injury to Shikhar Dhawan. So I actually see maybe Pant getting a game this Saturday against Afghanistan to see how he's getting on.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. But moving along to Kohli, now there's been a kind of transformation with Kohli. You know, it's easy to stereotype him and call him brash, but there seems to be more to him than his mountain of runs and, you know, the occasional outbursts. Almost coming across as a considerate rival. He got, you know, a lot of traction in the media over his gesture, signalling the Indian fans and asking them to stop booing Steve Smith. We saw the banter between him and Amir in India versus Pakistan. So there's this really sense of maturity. You know, he's playing second fiddle to Rohit Sharma, mellowed down, you know, toned down the hype around the Pakistani match. Yeah, shifting the limelight to his teammates in press conferences. What is going on? Your thoughts?
It's a good question. I think Kohli's just reached that stature in Indian cricket that he knows now that he's untouchable, and he's on a little bit of a PR mission in some ways. Because if you remember, I think 2011 when he toured Australia, he flipped off the crowd. It may have been at the MCG, the famous Bay 13 crowd, which was going after what is now King Kohli. I think Kohli's mellowed down, as you say. I think Anushka has probably had a role to play in that as well. She seems to have given him quite a stabilizing influence. He's won in Australia, which was one of his big aims. So I think he's calmed down a little bit after that. And I think he's just massively focused on winning this World Cup. He isn't trying to G up the crowd or do any of that other stuff. He understands now that cricket is a fickle mistress in some ways. Some days you're up, some days you're down. And he plays with his heart on his sleeve even now. So you can see that instantaneous reaction when India takes a wicket or he gets a run out or something happens. But he's becoming very much a senior statesman now of the team. He's 30, he's matured. He's not the 19-year-old brash kid that made his debut and basically had a lot to say to everyone that he came across. He's now 30. He's settling into that phase of his life, which he just needs to be productive. He knows what he needs to do. I think he's gone vegan. He's impressively fit. He's even thinner than I saw him the last time. His fitness is fantastic. He's basically decided the next 5 to 10 years of his life are just going to be dedicated to cricket. And I think he understands the example that he sets now to young kids a little bit. He understands that people look to him to understand things about cricket. People look to him to ask about things like, what do you think of the 100? Is Test cricket dying? And his views on things actually count. So I think he's settled down into his role as the Indian cricket captain. He's untouchable and he knows it.
Well, you were there, right, for Australia versus India. Was the crowd actually booing Steve Smith, or was it just more of a sort of momentum and, you know?
I actually was there in the crowd, and I didn't think that they were booing Steve Smith particularly, because I'll tell you how it was. It was a full crowd. It was all blue. It was all Indian. It was, you couldn't see. Yeah. I think I found three Aussie supporters
actually posted something, right?
Yeah.
It
was great. They were gracious enough to take a photograph with us, which was nice of them, especially since Australia were just about to start their chase of 300 odd. But I think the crowd was just excitable. It was the Indians, by their very nature, don't boo, right? So it's not in our culture to boo. And it's not like we've seen the English do it to Australians and have sought to ape them. I think it's just an excitement thing. Even when I mentioned this on the pod as well, when Marcus Stoinis, who has nothing to do with Sandpaper Gate and seems like a really nice guy and was having fun with the crowd, even when he stopped the ball going from a boundary, he was getting booed. And it was just the excitement. And anyone who got in the way of an Indian boundary basically got booed. It wasn't, to my mind, something specific to Steve Smith. Maybe Kohli thought differently. Maybe that's why he made that gesture. And I mean, well done to him. He's copped a lot from crowds in Australia and all over the world in the past. He's got booed in England. I know that because I've been at test matches where Kohli's got booed. He's got booed in Australia, of course, as the kind of pantomime villain. And I think he understands that it affects people in a not so nice way. So he's tried to rise above that. And well done to him.
Yeah, well done. Well, twice winners of this tournament, India must surely go well, given, you know, you've got the likes of Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, the world's number one and two batsmen. There's also, you know, the number one fast-paced bowler, Jasprit Bumrah. Do you think India can win the World Cup under Kohli's captaincy?
I would be remiss if I said no. We run an Indian cricket podcast after all. And we have been predicting India to win this. And I'm Indian, obviously, and I hope India win. And I think they can. We've got the team to win it, right? I think this is a perfectly balanced team. Everyone kind of knows their role. We've got class. We've got quality. We know how to play under pressure. We've got mature players. We've got youth. We're a good fielding side. And I think we'll definitely make the semi-finals. There's no doubt about that. I mean, especially after the start we've had. But the only thing that could stop us from winning the World Cup is us having a bad day and the opposition having a great day. I think if we meet England in the final, and I'm going to go on record with this prediction, if we meet England in the final, we will beat them because we've got that experience of winning World Cups, which England do not have. Australia, on the other hand, will be a different kettle of fish. Meeting them in the final will be more difficult than meeting
England
in a final, because Australia won 5 World Cups, right? And they are the defending champions. So, even then, I'd back India to win the World Cup. In those circumstances, unless we have a poor day, or the opposition plays out of their skin, which is what happened in the Champions Trophy 2017.
Yeah. I mean, it is a game of probabilities where even the strongest team can be defeated by a weaker opponent, right, on any given day. So, yeah, I guess. But it would be nice to see some upsets. It would just make it a bit more exciting, don't you think?
I think the upsets can come in non-India games. I'm very happy for that to come.
Yes.
Do you think
Pakistan's chances of making it to the semi-finals, you know, it obviously got slimmer when they lost against India on Sunday. But best case scenario, you know, if they were to win remaining 4 matches, what are your thoughts? You know, does the team's destiny, is it in their own hands or not?
Well, at the moment it is with Pakistan, but I mean, the old thing about Pakistan is that they're inconsistent, and this tournament doesn't actually allow you to be inconsistent. The only way I see Pakistan making the knockouts is if they go on an absolute run of wins. And Pakistan have been known to get on a roll, which is what they did in 92, which is when the last time the World Cup was played in this format in Australia. And they won that World Cup, right? They were led by an inspirational captain, Imran Khan, who's now their prime minister. Unfortunately, Sarfaraz doesn't quite seem to have the same kind of personality or the same kind of attentiveness on the field, given all the memes that are floating around about him yawning. Just today, I saw a car driving into his mouth. So I mean,
I don't think Sarfaraz has the same.
We can put it up on Twitter and you can have a look. Yeah. But, I mean, he doesn't seem like the inspirational captain that Imran Khan was.
I mean, that was, as you say, that was a different era, right? Your Imran Khan, Wasim Akram.
Exactly. And the corner Tigers T-shirt, if Sarfaraz came out wearing it tomorrow, I'd be pretty surprised to see that. It doesn't seem like something he'd do. But who knows? It's Pakistan. And as they say, anything can happen with Pakistan. I'm writing them off. Many wouldn't. But then I don't believe in Pakistan's chances at this tournament, really.
Well, look, it only takes two good matches for any team to win the trophy, right? But India has the potential and talent to pull it off. So final comments, DJ, you know, as we roll past the halfway point into week four, what are your predictions for the final four?
The final four, I think what we're looking at right now is definitely India. New Zealand are doing pretty well, and New Zealand just won a pretty close game against South Africa yesterday, knocking them out for the third time in a row from World Cups. So I think India and New Zealand, definitely. England looks very strong, and I think Australia. And I think unless Bangladesh can pull off a surprise, I think those will be our top four. I don't think the West Indies have got enough in them at the moment. Neither do Pakistan. Afghanistan have been a massive disappointment this time around, probably caused by internal politics and changing of captains and things just before the World Cup. But I think the top four are India, New Zealand, Australia, and England. A slightly boring answer, but it's what many people predicted before the World Cup. And it hasn't actually been as competitive as it was meant to be. So another little bit of a disappointment there.
I definitely agree with you there, especially New Zealand. You know, they're a team that always sort of punches two notches above their weight. So, yeah, agree with your top four. India is currently placed at the fourth position in the points table and is all set to play few weaker opponents, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka and the West Indies, in their remaining league games to qualify for the semi-finals. Let's hope India keep to their 100% victory and win us the World Cup. This brings us to the end of today's show. We hope you enjoyed our special edition of Saffron Spice. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes throughout the World Cup. I'd like to take this moment to thank DJ for coming on the show today as our guest. And DJ, can you tell our listeners where they can reach you or how they can reach you on Edges and Sledges?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come on your podcast. It's been a really good chat. Obviously, love speaking to podcasters all over the world, and you guys are doing a great job with your pod. For Edges and Sledges, we are a weekly Indian cricket podcast. We are found on all the major platforms. That's iTunes, Google Podcasts, we're on Spotify. We recently joined the IVM Podcast Network, which is the largest podcast network in India. So we're on their app and on their website as well. We're on Podbean, wherever else you get your pods. We're on Twitter, and the handle is One Tip One Hand. That's the number one tip, the number one hand. So One Tip One Hand. So come and say hi to us over there. We're on Instagram as well as Facebook. So yeah, drop us a line, drop us an email. Our details are on our Twitter profile. So we'd love to hear from you and let us know what you think of our pod. And Shivani, it's been excellent speaking to you. Thank you so much for bringing us on.
Wonderful. Thanks, DJ. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Castbox, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for some more fun content. A review would go a long way for us, so if you have a minute, please rate us. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Stay tuned for our new episode next week. Till then, goodbye.